Good day and welcome to another edition of The Front Page on Moorhead State Public Radio. I am your host, Chuck Moraz. Today we're joined by Rowan County Judge Executive Dr. Walter Blevins. And Doc, always nice to have you on the show.
Glad to be here. Thank you for having me.
Well, as always, we like to start things off with progress regarding the building of the new detention center here in Rowan County. And, you know, I was by there the other day and it looks pretty good.
Well, as far as I can tell, everything's on schedule. We're looking to go in maybe toward the end of January. Had two small change orders. We're still not very high on our change orders compared to the size of the project. I think one was for $3,400 and $3,452. That was for some clip angles to help with the decking for the roof. And we also had one for, I think it was one of the bathrooms, didn't have the proper flooring in it or something, adjacent floor finishes to the toilet room. And the locker room on a finished schedule, and that was about $789. So pretty two small ones that we didn't have too much debate about, but that's just par for the course. At least that's what our construction manager tells us, and I've talked to other people, and that's change orders just a fact of life.
And you had set aside, we've discussed this before, several hundred thousand dollars to cover all the change orders.
Over $900,000, and I think we've used about 118 of that, including this, I believe.
So things are in pretty good shape.
Yeah, pretty good shape.
So what do you do with the money that's left over? I mean, it's kind of hard to say left over in a sense when you're spending $18 million, but
we can pay off some debts. We really can't pay off the bond and bonded indebtedness. You have to wait, I think, 10 years before you can actually start paying that down. But we can hang on to the money, help pay some of the payments that we're going to have to pay. You can put it back in the general fund, as far as I understand, and we can use it for other items.
Is it completely under roof now?
No. It's the walls are all up. They're putting some decking on, then the roof will go on. Hopefully, I think they talk like they're going to start maybe next week.
I would imagine after the roof goes on, they can really start to make some serious progress.
Well, they've made some pretty serious progress already, but they've got to we've had so much rain this spring, and that place is like a sieve. They had to drill holes to get the water from the top of it down into the bottom, and it'll take a few months probably to put the humidifiers in there before they can actually start doing any painting and sealing of stuff and things.
It appears they're on track, schedule-wise.
Yeah, that's what we've been told. We're looking sometime the end of January. Again, I'm an optimist. I wish it was the end of the year, but we'd like to be able to bring some prisoners, get our uncrowd some of the people we have in our current jail, and there's a big demand. At least that's what I've been told by the correction cabinets for beds that we're going to be able to house. So. We're excited about it. We think we'll be able to fill that place up pretty quickly and start costing us less to run it than it was before.
As I noted, I've seen it the way it looks right now, and you can kind of imagine what it will look like when it's finished because you can see the shape of the building and you can see the awning in the front and the way the facade may be put together. So, I mean, you can get a pretty good idea of what you might be looking at here in a few months.
Yeah, if you put your hip boots on, I'll take you through there sometime. Maybe we can take a real good tour of it. But we're going to try to have that. We'll try to invite some of the public down there when we get an opportunity, when it get it dried out where it's reasonable that you can get in there without getting too messy.
Well, you talked about the fact that you expect it to be almost full up, if not full up, from day one when you open things in January. And I noticed on the agenda that you finalized some detention center agreements with some of the surrounding counties.
Yeah, that's normal procedure. We do that as well. They can handle some of our prisoners if they have jail space. A lot of those do not have jail space. That's why we think we'll be able to fill ours up fairly rapidly because of so many of the surrounding counties do not have jails. So they have to take them somewhere a lot of times. They take them up to the Big Sandy, which is overcrowded right now. They take them to Montgomery County, which is overcrowded. And sometimes you have to take them even further away than that.
Just looking at it, the list includes Bath, Bourbon, Elliott, Lewis, Montgomery and Morgan counties, and I think that, if I'm not mistaken, the jail's done business with some of these counties here in
We've
the past.
We've done business with all those counties, all the surrounding counties.
All right. So, again, if they're sending prisoners over here and you have your own, which generally runs anywhere from 100 to about 120 per month,
correct,
you should be in pretty good shape in terms of filling beds.
We think we're going to be able to fill it up rapidly, and sooner the better, because then you can actually start to bringing more money in. We think it'll be be some more utilities, but not as percentage-wise, not as high a bill. And, of course, you'll have a little larger food bill, a little larger employment with it. But hopefully we'll be bringing in some money that we can at least we're close to about $1.2 million, I think, $1.1 million, somewhere in that range that we're paying to take care of the prisoners we have today. We think we're going to be able to lower that to maybe $400,000 to $500,000 that we're going to have to actually take out of the taxpayers' rolls and our taxpayers' dollars and put into the jail.
I noticed on the meeting agenda there was also a denotation of an easement for the Kentucky Communication Network, which is part of the Kentucky Wire project. If you would maybe update where things are in the county with all that.
Well, we're just waiting. I know the mayor and I have talked. We've had a group of people here locally trying to look at whether we want to spend a little more money and bring a larger cable into the system. Right now, Kentucky Wired is supposed to put about 244 lines. 140, I think 144 of those will be basically used by the state government and your state offices, education system. The other 144 of those lines will be used for they can sell it to ISPs, Internet Service Providers. We have been offered an opportunity to purchase another 144, and while they're putting it in, we're basically just buying the cable. We're not paying for the installation because that's already being paid for by Kentucky Wired. I know the mayor's working on a plan to do that, and we'd like to see a plan so that we not only run the 288 lines, I guess it is, we'd like to see the larger line to come through, but we'd like to see it come through Bath County and Montgomery County. We're hoping we can get those two counties to go ahead and continue what we're trying to do. We think those extra 144 lines would give us something to offer some companies that may want a high-tech environment to come, and we can use that as an attraction to come to this region.
And obviously the one concern always in a situation like this is the cost.
Yeah, the cost, but if you look at the cost of $10 or $12 per foot, when you're having to basically run the wire, not only buy the cable, but actually running it and putting it up, where we can do this for about $3 to $4 per foot, it makes sense to go ahead and do it. At least all the people tell us that maybe we're overbuilding, but if you look what technology is, how fast it's growing and how many more people are getting online, we think that it would be a wise investment. Again, the mayor is working on that with the Morehead Utility Plant Board, make it like a utility, something that people can purchase, pay so much per month for it, to help pay it off.
At this point right now, what's the anticipated cost perhaps for the county?
I think it's anywhere between $200,000 and $250,000 to bring the extra 144 lines.
Really, when you talk about that amount, it sounds bad, but it really isn't when you consider the overall budget and the long-term ramifications of what you're doing.
That's not like you're going to be paying that every year. I think there's about a $20,000 or $30,000 bill you'd have to pay to maintain it, to make sure that if we had a terrible storm or something, you'd have money, you could go back and get it up and running pretty quickly. But again, if you look at that fiber supposed to last for 50 years, probably maybe even longer, it's pretty durable stuff, and as long as you don't have a violent upheaval of the earthquake or a tornado like we've had, then it's pretty stable stuff. It's going to be there for a long time, and it wouldn't be much of a payoff per year and per month for the community.
When we talk about the Kentucky Wired project, this is part of the SOAR initiative, the Saving Our Appalachian Region initiative. And as far as getting things in place here in Morehead and Rowan County, that's what residents really want to know. When can we expect this to be here so we can use it? What would you say?
Well, we were thinking August or September this year. Now, the demand on Corning, who makes most of the fiber, They're kind of backlog of material and building it, and that's given us an opportunity to actually be able to purchase more of this or the larger cable, the larger broadband fiber, black fiber they call it. And again, we're going to try to work with our communities, Bath and Montgomery. We'd like to see that line. I know Clark County is doing the same thing we're trying to do. And we'd like to see that line have the larger number of fibers, and I think it would help the whole region.
So when do you think it might be available to people?
We're probably looking at next year, hopefully maybe July, August of next year.
About a year from now. Though.
Yeah, about a year from now, we'll hopefully be up and running. We already, the courthouse, they've already come in and wired it because this, we were hoping, actually, this should have already been taking place. But, again, they can only make this stuff so fast, and they had no idea there was going to be this kind of demand.
From an economic development standpoint, Walter, what do you feel like in terms of a difference-making situation this could be for our county? How much of a difference-maker could it be, I guess?
Well, I think it puts us top-notch. It makes us as capable of Internet and broadband as any place in the whole world. I think it would attract some hopefully high-tech industries, people that use a lot of broadband that need a lot of guaranteed for just their use. We think that would be a real advantage for this community and for the region.
I saw also under new business you talked to Richard Howerton about the TAP grant study. I was hoping you might explain that.
Well, the TAP grant is a grant that the state, actually it's federal dollars and state dollars, to help you build bicycle paths, walking paths, to kind of mainly bicycle paths. And, of course, I think you're seeing a rise in more and more people riding and trying to exercise. And I think one of the plans I've always wanted to see is a good bicycle path all the way down to Cave Run Lake. And I think if you had that from the city to down to the lake, I think you'd see more and more people get on their bicycles and take advantage of that. I think it would be a good tourist attraction as well, not only for people that own the bicycles, but people that just like to walk. We're working on a plan right now to do the one for the city from Rodburn out to Clearfield. That may be another opportunity. We may want to add that line instead of going down 60 part all the way, maybe go through Clearfield with a bike path. Might be less traffic and maybe a little safer course. We're also looking to, in the proposal that we're trying to get him to do, is to go out to where Sunnybrook is and use that existing railroad line. We think that'd be an ideal place to put a bicycle path out to that region. Of course, we're kind of don't have the money to build Sunnybrook right now, but eventually, hopefully, that day will come. What we're trying to do, Richard came to the committee or to the court, talked about putting together a plan and applying for these grants. I think you have to apply for them in December. So he put together an engineer program, showed that maybe the cost, show where you'd have to build if any kind of bridges or what you'd have to do if you had to buy property. And my court's kind of balked that a little bit because of the cost. And we're going to talk to my plan is to talk to the tourism group here locally and also maybe the city and all go together and develop a plan for that type of bicycle path.
In terms of a TAP grant, how much do you think you might be able to get?
Well, I think they go from $5,000 is the lowest, because we'd hate to spend $10,000 and get a $5,000 grant. We don't think that'll happen. But we think we've got a good we'll have a good proposal, and I think they go up to $1 million, up to a million.
So are you seeking a million? Or?
I think we'll look at what the engineers tell us it's going to take to build it, and then we'll ask for that amount.
This almost plays into an initiative that has been around for a while in our area, the Rails to Trails stuff.
I worked on Rails to Trails back when I was in the House years ago when we lost the railroad. I was one of the few people who went down and testified to hang on to the railroad during that time. But I thought, well, let's take that lemons and make lemonade out of it by turning them into Rails for Trails. Some communities have done. They've been very successful. But again, the people were concerned about getting that property back themselves. They thought they'd rather have it, have a little larger yard, have a little larger, maybe a buffer zone for themselves away from the railroad. So that just it fell on deaf ears at that time. It was during a political campaign. My opponent at that time they had a big rally, and they were all opposed to me trying to turn it into a bicycle pass. And people said that people on four-wheelers would be on it, that, you know, they'd never get any peace. But, again, you can police that type of thing and make it something positive rather than something negative.
From what I understand, it's basically for walkers, yes, joggers, and bicyclists, not for four-wheelers.
Not for four-wheelers, correct.
So they're, I guess, out there when people talk about rails to trails still, even though it's been discussed a number of times on the show several times as well, there are a lot of misimpressions about it.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, anytime you're in a political battle, things get exaggerated. That you make it sound as bad as you can on the other person. That's what they were trying to do.
Again, our guest today on Front Page is Dr. Walter Blevins. He is the judge executive for Allen County. We're talking about county business, and we'll come back with more on the show right after this.
There are many ways to connect with Morehead State Public Radio. Log on to WMKY.org for enhanced regional news, on-demand audio and video, breaking news from NPR, and information on your favorite programs. Get links to Facebook and Twitter while you listen to our live broadcast online, or download mobile apps from NPR and take 90.3 FM with you everywhere. Connect with your community and Morehead State Public Radio. Visit WMKY.org.
Welcome back to today's Front Page. Rowan County Judge Executive Dr. Walter Blevins is our guest. I'm Chuck Meraz. And, Judge, you had something you wanted to point out.
Yeah, we do this each year, I think, and it's the Rowan County Household Hazardous Waste Collection Day. It's free to all Rowan County citizens, only Rowan County citizens. It's from 8 o'clock to 12 noon, 8 o'clock in the morning to 12 noon. Location will be at the Community Recycling Center located in 325 Triplett Street. That's across over to the city park. They'll be able to take propane and helium cylinders, oxygen cylinders, pesticide liquids, solids. It's a good opportunity for people to get some of that stuff out of their closets and out of their garages and have it properly taken care of. So that's, again, on July the 15th at between 8 o'clock in the morning to 12 noon. Hopefully people will take advantage of that. It's a good opportunity. It's free to the all-around countyans.
The one thing, when you were talking about that, I imagine they collect a lot of stuff.
There's a lot of stuff. I mean, most people have those kinds of things, paint sealer, any, you know, paints, anything like that that you don't want to just take to the landfill and you want to dispose of it properly.
In talking about some of the other things on the agenda, one thing that caught my eye is that you had Dr. Stephen Lamb from the East Kentucky Professional Associates at the meeting here the other day, and you talked about, I guess, a methadone clinic.
Yes, that's correct. They've talked to me, basically sent some emails and they came before the court. Matt Sparks, our sheriff, was there. Danny Blevins, who is the head of our emergency services, ambulance services, he was there as well asking some questions. There's some concern by my court. I don't think they can put one of these in unless the court or the city council, I guess it could be either one of us, agree to let them come. Again, this would be inside the city. It seems to me it probably the city ought to make that decision rather than the county. But Dr. Lamb, he made a good presentation. There's some literature here he left us to look at. I mean, we've got a major problem with opiates, and this is one of those keys that can be used to help people get off of opiates or at least maintain semblance of a good life as far as that, maybe keep them working, keep them from using the more illicit drugs, keep them from hopefully shooting up. Again, it's got some pros, but there's always some cons, and we're going to have to do some more research and listen to the public as well, see what they feel about it. We already have a Suboxone clinic in the same vicinity. There was a methadone clinic in this same vicinity. This is out in the old Hex building close to the and behind the Hampton Inn. It's in close to a neighborhood, and actually my county attorney lives close to that, and I don't think he's really in favor of it. So we've got some pros, we've got some cons, people on different opinions. Again, we didn't make a decision. We're going to listen to the public and see how they feel about this as well.
What are the major fears about it right now?
Well, I think the major fears was that you would attract not only Rowan County people, but you'd attract a lot of people from not only just in Kentucky, but maybe from Ohio, West Virginia, other places would come here to take advantage of this. I guess the main concern is that you invite that kind of people into your community or they're in your community, there's a chance for more crime, more burglaries, that type of thing. Dr. Lamb seemed to think that he could control all that. They open up very early in the morning, so it's usually not most of those people come early in the morning, especially if they're working. They it's a pretty good drive, I guess the thing I liked about that is that it's something they have to drink, and then they have to speak after they drink it, so make sure they're not saving it to put into a syringe and inject the stuff. So it's that's better than what the Suboxone. I think after they take the Suboxone, they actually give them the pills, and then the sheriff says there's some. They seem to find Suboxone pills occasionally when they run across some of these needles. So there's some pros, there's some cons, but it's a major problem. Methadone clinics have been around for many, many years, and we're going to try to do some more research and find out what other problems could be before we make a decision on that issue.
When does Dr. Lamb propose opening up this?
I think he's ready to open it day one. I think he's already got a staff. The building's already available to him. They had it before. But again, I think we're just some of my members are very concerned. I'm probably a little less concerned because I think he seemed to have good credentials. He's, as far as I know, he's done good work. And again, when you have family members yourself that are in need of treatment, this is one way for them to get some treatment. It's a less expensive way than maybe Suboxone. It's a less expensive way than some of the other alternatives out there. I think he's talking maybe $90 to $100 a week versus for the patients to pay. Some of this is Medicaid for Medicaid people, but Suboxone's higher than that, and I think the Vivitrol, where you take one shot a month, is about $1,000 a month for people. So it's we may want to at least I think we ought to do a thorough search and decide whether it is something that's good for the people and good for this community or not.
You also heard from, I guess, Western Kentucky University, some official from that place regarding the Kentucky Climate Center. Is that right?
Yeah, he's been there. He did not make it yesterday, and I know what they're – we have a mezzanine here in Moorhead. They have come upon some real tough funding problems, and they're trying to get communities that have mezzanines to help fund maybe the introduction of more of them and maintain what we have. So he did not make this meeting, so we didn't really have any discussion of it.
What is a mezzanette, if you would explain that for folks who don't know?
A mezzanette is it was set up, there was some grants, I think, through the Fed and the states at one time, and they do wind, they do humidity controls. They put them in places to try to get a better handle on what the weather is, and not just in like looking at a map of Kentucky, but get down to a local level and see what's occurring in the weather. It's good information for farmers. It's good information for people in the weather business.
So you mentioned that they're asking for funding. Do you know how much?
They didn't really come with any kind of proposal. They were just looking for any money that counties could give them, I think, because the state funds have been cut off.
Also saw this, that City of Moorhead business licenses and collection of occupational taxes agreement. I think this is a renewal, isn't it?
That's a renewal. That's of course, we've increased the payroll tax and moved it up half percent, went to 1.5. In the county, the city was already 1.5, and also we put net profits tax on rental properties. Again, we're not seeing all that money come in. It's not as much money as we thought it might be. We're not sure whether it's just noncompliance. We're going to have to do a little more research on that as well.
We've got a little less than a minute left. Maybe some final thoughts.
Well, we also, if you look on the agenda there, we've decided to help the radio station up here. We're going to buy some ads, and I think it's about $3,000 for the year, and try to run a couple of 30-second ads for the county. We let people know maybe where there's a problem as far as if we're doing blacktopping or if there's trees down. We can use that to try to advertise, and also we can just help the community what good things are happening in Round County today. We think we're on the upswing, and we're going to try to let the people know a little more about that.
Well, thanks for your time and for your support.
Thank you.
Thank the court members, too.
I'm a big supporter. I think you do a great service for this community. I'd hate to think what Morehead would be like without public radio.
Doc, it's always good to have you on the show.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Again, our guest today on the program, Rowan County Judge Executive, Dr. Walter Blevins. I'm Chuck Moraz, host of Front Page. See you next time.